has been taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is found on Pew Bible on page number 1228. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I shall read verses 11 to 21. Chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not condemning ourselves to you again, commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in their heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Please turn with me again to Psalm 120, and that is our text for the preaching this morning. Psalm 120. A song of ascent. In my distress, I called to God, called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree, owe to me, were I so that I sojourned in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we lift this word which is yours unto you. And this morning we pray, speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This particular psalm has the first verse as the complete message of that entire psalm, all the 7 verses. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Basically, that's where we are going to stay the whole sermon this morning, all my both the points. In distress, he called and God answered. And when we look into this particular, this whole passage, we are going to see that the answer is not a very flowery and full of joy. The answer is still different than what is anticipated. But still, that's an answer from the Lord. And that's what we are going to look at it. One of the thoughts comes to my mind when the independence was given to Israel as a nation. Right after 1 year, there was a lot of pressure put on Israel from the other countries. Many Arabs decided to fight back. And finally, after 1 year, there was a treaty signed by these nations together under the other authorities of the world, that there will be ceasefire. No one will fire against each other. And when we just think about this particular psalm, it comes to our mind. Israel was in distress. The nation, even in our times, we know that it's not too long. It's like in 1948 and 1949, these whole things were happening. The suffering that the nation went through and the liberty that they got, the outcome was they were given independence. The people surrounding them did not like it, so they decided to attack this nation. And there was this restlessness going on. Somebody would say, "We are here for peace, now don't fight." But when they said, "We are for peace," the people were there for war. And in 1 year's time, we know that Israel got more territory than it was actually granted to it. Though the part of Jerusalem is still under the other nation below south. But what was given to Israel, it was given little more when this restlessness came to them. And this is very fresh news that we can think about. And it relates to the situation very well. There are certain passages, if you go to Deuteronomy, and I shall read that for you this morning, in chapter 31, verse 17, which talks about something when there is no rest or no peace. Why that happens? And I shall read verse 17 for us. It says, "Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us." People have seen in history, even in the times of Deuteronomy, and when Moses is leading people, they saw that all the suffering and all the distress came to them because they thought God is not among us. The Lord put that situation in his people's lives, and so they could see that he is not part of the situation now, and therefore the suffering takes grief of those people. And that is the time, dear congregation, we need to call to him. That is the time in our distress when we know, because this distress has enabled me to understand, God is not present with me. There is no time when God is not present. There is no place where his presence is not there. And yet, this is the deepest game of the emotions that any human wisdom can play with us. Our emotions, our consciences tell us when we are in distress, God is not there. The other side of it, which is very positive side of it, is when we are in difficulties, when we are in the situation where we think everything is lost, we are persuaded by our own thought that the Lord is not here. But the encouraging situation is, the Lord creates that feeling in our heart for a purpose. And he enables you to feel that he is not with you. My God, why? That was the question our Lord Jesus Christ asked. And many theologians believe that there was a turning of his back on our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of sin. Well, it is not only that one particular time that happened, but this happens whenever we sin against him. This happens, the Lord is always grieved The Lord is always grieved when His people sin against Him. Sometimes the Reformed Christians get a comfortable seat and they say, I am saved and I will not lose my salvation. So we give ourselves a license and we don't feel the other side, what God must be thinking about it. We think about ourselves. We are broken. We are willing to say, Lord, I have committed sin. And we have taken that step of sin. We feel pity about us. And then we completely forget the other part, that it is God who also is grieved. With this little bit of background, that the distress that comes to us has one side of human conscience and wisdom tells God is not present. And the other side to it is the Lord causes those feelings. The Lord is the Lord who teaches us with true emotions, true feelings, because we are not stones and God is not stone as well. If He has mouth, He speaks. He is not like that idol which has ears but can't hear. He is not like that idol which has eyes but can't see. He is not a God without emotions. When Jesus saw, He moved with compassion. And one of the smallest verse of the Bible tells He wept. God plays those deep things for us in our emotions. In my distress I called to the Lord and He answered me. Let's break this verse and see what is the distress that David is going through. There are various people who have historical backgrounds. They say this must be the time when he is reflecting on what had happened. It's not actually happening. He is out of it. But he believes that this is what happened, and that's why this song comes out of David's hands and mouth. I believe so, because it is not when he was going through distress he decided to sit together and write something, because he was running around and he was distressed. But his heart was very much what he wrote. In that situation of distress, instead of writing this psalm, he was acting on this psalm. He was not only believing what he's writing here. Writing came later with joyful attitude that, oh, this is what the Lord has brought before me. In my distress, I called to the Lord and He answered me. What is this prayer? That's what I want to bring here. What is this prayer in that distress? Verse 2. Deliver me, O Lord. David is asking for a delivery from two things. Lying lips and deceitful tongue. One of the illustrations I would like to give here is the boomerang, a angled, a small flat stick. When they throw it, it takes round, it goes with its speed, but it comes back to you. And that's a game mostly people in Australia play. They throw it, it takes its rounds, and it comes back to you. Our lips throw words, they go back, and they come back to us. Our tongue throws the words, they go out, they take their turn, and they return back to us. Most of the hurts and distress is not caused with guns, but tongue and lips. Most of the hurts are not given with the slap of hands on our cheeks, but the words that we have spoken for some people. Well, I am guilty of it, and my wife can tell you that. But here we need to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, deliver us from that particular thing which causes distress. Whenever we think about distress, suffering, troubles in our life, we say, it's coming from there. See, I'm all safe here. If that particular thing would not be there, the distress and the trouble and the suffering would not come to me. But the Lord is putting David's heart to his heart and he says, look into your own heart. Well, David is not talking about his lips and his tongue. He's not talking that he is gossiping. He is definitely talking about somebody has gossiped. But then David has been very confessing sin. A king who never decided to hide his own sins. It is nobody else but David himself wrote Psalm 51. We know when the situation came and when he had to encounter with Nathan, he was willing to go an extra mile and seek forgiveness from the Lord. So though the verse 2 talks about deliverance from the lips and the tongue, the lying lips and deceitful tongue, though it is not, he is not talking about his lips are lying and his heart and his tongue is deceitful, but he doesn't undermine that as well. And that is what we need to learn. Always start from our own heart and say, if my lips have given false glory to God. Most of us, all of us, every one of us believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are tempted at times to tell how God is gracious, how wonderful He is. And I have heard people giving testimonies, talking about God and manipulating certain things and achieving certain things in their lives and yet telling as if the Lord has done that to them. We need to check our motives and attitudes. Lying lips and deceitful tongues are very hard to tame. We know that in the book of James it is talked about, and you might certainly have heard about it. But what is the situation in this particular passage is, David says that his distress has come from these two things, and he wants deliverance. Let's think about our Lord Jesus Christ. If people would not use their tongue and lips, there was no accusation. If Christ himself would not speak anything, there would be no accusation. Are you the Son of God? And if the Lord decides to say nothing, no use of tongue and lips, there is no accusation around him or on him. And he would not be on the cross as easy as they could get him to. Using tongues and lips is very important. Telling the truth is very important. But with that, if we are causing distress, then we are missing the mark. Then we are missing the whole point. Why the Lord has given us tongues and lips. In Psalm 51, verse 14, it says this thing. And I shall read that for us this morning. Psalm 51 is a very familiar psalm for many of us. Verse 15 says, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. When the sin has been dealt with, the first organ of the body should be employed in praising God was the tongue. Now my tongue will praise God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness today? We know what David knew. His righteousness was the keeping of the law, following him and all the sacrifices. Today we know in the beautiful present situation that our righteousness is his righteousness. We are righteous in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when this deliverance comes, when this prayer is made, the lips and tongues are taken into consideration and they are controlled. I have a few more things to say in this first point. Now when we read verse 3, what shall be given to you and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? People in our surroundings would like to talk, and if they have some secret in their heart, they would like to talk more. But you just think if they don't have any information, if you're not feeding it, if you're not feeding that tongue has nothing to talk. If your heart is not fed with the gossip, there is nothing that can come out. And the application here is, when we look at the accounts of our Lord Jesus Christ, you think he is so free, walking in that wilderness, and there seems to be nothing happening much. His disciples have gone to buy bread so they can have food. And here he sees one lady sitting at the well. He goes close to her and tells her story back to her. The Lord's heart was full of knowing everything about everybody. But what comes out of his mouth is salvation. One of the scary thought about me is the Lord knows each and everybody's actions, words, sins, everybody who is sitting here, the Lord knows everything about us. If he could know about that lady, Samaritan woman, he would know about an Indian man or an American man or woman. And when we talk with the Lord, nothing comes out but the saving grace that comes out of his mouth. We are afraid to say Jesus is not a moral example for us, because we think by that we undermine what he has done to us. I agree with that. But then, we are not allowed to learn something else from somebody else. Again, we are here. The word of God is given to us. His children teach us. And our Lord Jesus Christ sits there, talks with people. He has loaded information, but the way he speaks, as if he is very informal. And put all the records of our Lord Jesus Christ together, and we would know it was 3.5 years of time, and everything got achieved. The words that he wanted to speak, he spoke. The lives he wanted to change, he changed. And the salvation that came to us in the fulfillment of the time, Paul writes in Galatians 4:4. This man was born of a woman. Look at the time factor of it. And what comes back to us? The Lord has given us tongues and lips. So we should manage our words in such a way that we may bring praises unto his name. Because we have a lot of information about others. We know who is who. In fact, you travel from here all the way to Seattle and you join any URC church there, you would know people there. For our surprise, 9 years back, we as a family were traveling to Yakima, which is close to Seattle, and that was again summer work. And we were in Montana at the new URC church plant a few years back. Now I do not know the situation of that congregation, but we met somebody whom we had met in DeMar, Indiana. And we were surprised. We know people, and people know us. We know about people. We have the definite information about how sinful they are. And therefore, it is very, very possible that we might cause distress to them as well as to ourselves. And therefore comes the promise here. The Lord will answer your prayer, but you don't feed that tongue at all. I'm taking a very simple approach to look at this word here. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? The warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. This particular broom tree in the villages of Himalayas, if you go to India, people do not have torches with the battery in it. There is no flashlight type of thing. Now they might buy somewhere. But then even today, these are the brooms are burned in the night when people walk long distance. And this broom burns little longer than you expect. In 1995, I went there as a missionary, was very young right from my high school type of education, and had a desire to be missionary. So Presbyterian Church asked me if I can do that mission work for 3 months. This is a small hamlet, very few people, 16 families in one place, 13 families up, and it's on a beautiful mountain, small village. And they taught me, they came, these people, when we lived there for a long time, and then they came with various help. One of the help that they brought was this broom tree stick. And first when they got it, I knew this is for torch, but then they were explaining. You don't have to use your flashlight and kill your battery. If you don't have, don't worry for it. Burn these things, and they last if you walk even 3 to 4 miles with that. It doesn't have any oil. It doesn't have anything that you need to keep that fire going on. That stick itself has all that it needs to keep fire burning, and the stick burns very slow. I enjoyed that time. Take a bunch of sticks together, put them on fire, and you start walking with the light. The word of God is connecting this particular thought with our tongue. It says that tongue has that fire which lasts longer. Don't feed it, and the church will grow. Verse 5. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech and I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now these two things, another reason why he is distressed. But before we go into that, this is where the first point I would like to bring to you. Call to the Lord in distress. When the David had seen all these situations, he did not give up. But his call was to the Lord. Lord, deliver me from this. And as a congregation, I think we should look to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me. There are many things that I need to work on my own personality as I'm growing in the Lord. Young people, you need to think that as well. Yes, we need to grow in Him. We need to be like Christ. When somebody knocks at your door and opens the door, you open the door for him, and the person should see a Christ-likeness in your face, even for the first time. As we grow in that situation, we need to put those things in our hearts. But when we will not act on those things, it will be very hard. And there are so many things that you can do to be Christ-like. Because Christian life has a lot of dimensions, a lot of angles, and every angle needs to be cared for. We shouldn't give up on living a godly life because we are saved forever. We are rather asked not to take as a license, grace of God as a license to sin. So two things I would say is, let's talk about our lips and tongue, and that will help us to come out of that distress and look to the Lord, and He will answer. But His answer comes even when we are in a situation. That's the second point I would like to bring to you. And the situation here David is talking about, he says, I have lived longer, I have dwelt among these people longer, I shouldn't have been here. Well, these are two people he has mentioned here, and I got some information on both of them. One is Meshech and the Kedar. The Meshech is the son of Japheth, which is the son of grandson of Noah. And from there this client came. And you know, if you think about Old Testament, you know, Noah has variety of sons. And they have a different effect on this whole world. I recently wrote a paper on Trinidad and Guyana, British Guyana, and I found out there was argument done for black people. Why some are black and why some are white, why some are brown. And I think if you can go into that argument, then you would be surprised that it has been connected to the Old Testament and all the way to Noah. And I would not bring that argument here because that is not the part of it. But one thought from there I would like to bring to you, that these people who had lot of generations after generations coming out, and David is living among them, and they all have always gone against God. Now that is one big category. If you think, you tell them your forefather is my forefather, but why don't you believe the faith that I believe in? Don't we have such a people around us as well? That people give up on their heritage. People give up on their Christian faith and they decide to go against. And this is the another crowd, kind of a family, but now they have decided to go against God. The qualities of these people are mentioned in one of the encyclopedias when I was digging up it. It says they are aggressive. They are pagan. They are uncircumcised. And they are traders of bronze and slaves. These people, Meshech, they were very well known for bringing slaves from one place and not using them for themselves, but selling them on profit. If you have any interest in knowing about slavery, you will find that. This has been inbuilt character of these people. How would they look at David? David is living in those people. How would they look at him? They would look at him as a friend when they have benefit from him. You are a king. We are having some benefit from you, you are our friend. But when you are in distress, we can add some more to it so you may be killed very fast. David is living in that type of situation. We as a Christians are able to create that situation for others. If somebody is not in a problem, we can cause people to go, let them go into a problem. And when we say they are in problem, we can add some more to it and put them completely off. And take the other good side of it. When we see people that are in problem, Bible says one who covers the sin loves more. We can cover their sin, we can bring them out from there and add beautiful words so they may be strengthened and they would feel that the Lord has answered their prayer even when they were in distress. This was the one category of people David was living in. The other ones are Kedar, and they are the descendants of Ishmael. And we know when we talk about Ishmael, we know we are talking about Islamic faith today. Because they are the followers of Ishmael. They never thought Abraham had any promised son but Ishmael. And if somebody is talking about, I am the descendants of Isaac, they go against you. Even if you love them and you say Ishmael is not the promised son, they are for war. What David says in this psalm is exactly the same. He says, I am for peace, but when I talk about peace, they are for war. But the Lord answers our prayers. And those prayers are very strong. This is the answer of the prayer. When we talk about peace, they are for war. We shouldn't miss this. The answer to the prayer made in distress is not, now everything is fine, take these roses and the flowers and the sweet dish and enjoy your time here. The answer to the prayer made in distress is this: if you are for peace, they will be for war. Because till the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the consummation of all the events on this earth, people will stand against us. As soon as you talk about Christ, they will be for war. We can give many examples from our own background we come from. We speak about Christ. We speak about the godly precepts. We speak about moral standards, Christian standards, and people do not like it. They would rather ask you to leave. But we are here to make peace. We are here to bring that message of reconciliation, and people would not like it. And that's where this particular verse comes. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. There's only one way that you can live in peace with pagans in this world. Don't talk about Christ. If you do that, there's a joy out there. You will have wonderful friends. You will have people with money using your soul, body, mind, everything, and give you pleasure. Just one compromise. Don't talk about Christ. The time you talk about Christ, the Prince of Peace, and when you talk about peace, they will be for war. But we need to take that as the answer from the Lord. Have you enjoyed the answer of the Lord saying, Lord, when I want to talk peace and they are for war? Have you ever heard that answer of your prayers in your distress? If not, this is the time. We need to try that and see if the same thing works for you. This is not the message that I want to tell you. When you are in distress and suffering, you call to the Lord and He will prosper you. My message this morning is, if you have not heard somebody standing against you because you spoke about Christ and peace, if people have not gone against you and even to the point where they are willing to have war against you, then you have not yet prayed with your distress. I'm not talking about prosperity, I'm talking about war that is going to take place. And that should happen in each and every life to see the church grow and shine like stars. Some of the thoughts that I want to bring here again towards the end of this message. Everything that the Lord answers to us, and if there is no glory for Him, that answer is not from the Lord. You prayed for something and that thing happened to you, but there is no glory for our Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself, that answer is not from Him. must check it out. What prayers are answered? And in that answer of that prayer, what is the outcome? One is a blessing for us, protection for us. But the highest benefit is the glory of God should be very visible when God answers our prayer. When David is writing, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me." Jump to the last verse and he says, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." That was the answer given to him. And every Christian, when he talks about faith, the next answer to the prayer in that prayer, in that distress, should be, people either should accept him or they should hate you. If people would accept Christ, they are friends and we rejoice together. But if they hate Christ, they should be standing to fight against you, and war should be there. One of the beautiful things that can happen to us today is our repentance. What is the greatest distress that we have but to think about our sinfulness, which we have not repented? Repent, and that could be our prayer that, "Lord, I am distressed. Deliver me from my sin and repent for our sin." And the answer will come. Because now the sin that you want to keep away, everyone who got benefit of that sin because you are sinning will be your enemy today onwards. Are you willing to take that answer to your prayer? And our answer should be, "Yes, Lord, in your strength, we are willing to go forward." And therefore it will become very meaningful when we sing this song. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me, saying, though I am for peace, when I call for peace, they are for war." Let that combination be visible in your lives as well. And may the Lord bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you once again this morning. We know at times when we are in distress, we think the answer to our prayer should be all joyful, giving us prosperity. But today you spoke to us, Lord, that if your glory is not visible in all the answers of our prayers, in whatever distress that we have gone through, teach us that we may seek your will and speak the truth to ourselves, that the answer should be a little stronger than what we desire. Thank you for listening to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.